thank you everyone here for helping make this process go a little quicker. And welcome to those of you who are online. Glad you can join us as well. We have something that's a different thing that we're doing this morning, rather than opening with call to worship and all that stuff. We're going to open with a Unity family moment. And so I would like to invite up Carl and Crystal Newman to come and share a little bit about what's going on in their lives these days. If you stand right here, the camera will get you and you'll still be able to see everyone. So welcome, guys. You take it off. You're good. Please share with us what's going on for you guys.
Hi, guys. We're the Newmans. We have been here for quite a while. 16 years. I remember when we first walked in, Ed was greeting us. Chuck was carrying his guitar to the front. Graham and Boulay were here rocking. It has been quite an amazing time. We learned to laugh together, grow, and all of our kids have been born into this church. I won't be talking for too long. Don't want to get too emotional, but it's time to say goodbye for us. As a lot of you know, we have been blessed enough to be able to build our dream home near Clive, near Alex. And as many of you guys know, there's a quite almost as good of a church out there. So we, it's time for us to go, and we want to say goodbye, and we want also to ask for prayer of blessing as we take this next path.
Thanks for sharing that. So Carl called me up just a couple of weeks ago and said that he thought it was time, that their family had known that it was time and were already starting to plug in down there. So it was something that everyone probably knew was coming, but at the same time was still, you know, challenging to hear, because we love this family. And as you can tell from what just Carl shared there briefly, this has been a family here that has made a deep impact on their family as well. And so when he said this to me, he said, I want to find a way to say goodbye that's appropriate. We don't just want to cut and leave. That's not what you do with family. And so he said, could we have some people come up and pray for us? And then he named a few people. So I'd like to invite Kevin Bender and Megan Stober and Joel Cadu up. These are the people that they had asked if they would come and sort of bless them and send them off. But we're not, this isn't a divorce or something like that. You're still family, guys. So thank you for doing this. So why don't we just go left to right? Joel, you got the one, you're closest to the mic. Why don't you pray over them?
Heavenly Father, I just thank you. We praise you for family. You redefine family in scripture. When they said, Jesus, your mom and your brother outside waiting for you. And he said, who is my brother and sisters? Those who obey the Father. And I thank you for Carl and Crystal. They become a brother and sister to us because they obey you and the way that you said, this is family. And it's these times, Lord, is so bittersweet for me. I love Carl and Crystal, and I want them to be part of my immediate church family for the rest of their lives. But I understand that things change in life, and I'm excited for them that they are going to plug into a great church. I hear nothing but good things about what you're doing in Clive Baptist. And so I just pray that you would bless Carl and Crystal as they make this transition, that you would take what is a tough thing is leading people you love and that you've raised your kids with and that you've grown in 16 years. I just think about how far Carl and Crystal have grown spiritually. And and then to transition that. So I just pray, Lord, that you would use their gifts that you have given them, the abilities that you've given them, that you would use them to seamlessly plug into Clive Baptist, that you would use them to build your kingdom over there. But I also pray, Lord, there's a gap in our church with them leaving, a huge gap. And we need you to fill that gap. We can't. So I pray, Lord, that you would bring people with the gifts and abilities and the service and the heart that Carl and Crystal have, that you would bring it to unity and to fill this gap, because we can't do it without them. But we can do it with people that you bring in to fill that. And so I pray as they go and they bless Clive, that you would bless Unity Baptist, and you would bring people here to help fill the void that they're going to leave. And I just pray blessings on them. I pray blessings on Sambor, Tomer.
Nadia,
Lord, I'm going to miss seeing their kids grow up in this church. But I know that there'll be love at Clive Baptist. So we just pray a blessing over them.
Father God, I echo everything that Joel has just said, Father, about the loss that this is for our church family, and for us even personally, Father. But, and we know it is for Paul and Crystal, and this hasn't been easy, but Lord, you have walked with them through this. You have given them confidence in this, and we are trusting you. Trusting you in that. So, Father, these two are an amazing couple, passion and drive and convictions, Lord. And you have made them so beautifully in their family. And God, so we just pray that you will use those gifts that you give them in a holy, mighty way. And as they go and they touch more lives in different areas, and as they interact with the new church body and use their gifts there, Father, would you just pour out your blessings on them there? On our kids, as they have already nicely adjusted to, Lord, but as that continues, Lord, just help them to be plugged in and meet good friends, and Lord, that you will just continue to grow this family spiritually closer to you, Father. That is our prayer. And we send them out reluctantly, but into your hands, God. And we just thank you for the blessing that they are to us.
Lord, we're one in our thoughts and feelings today, where it's mixed emotions that we are here today. And we're grateful and thankful for Carl and Crystal and their family, for the part that they've been in our congregation, for the friendships that we've developed with them over the years, and for the way that they have served you. And so we want to give you the thanks and the praise for that. And at the same time, we mourn the loss of them as a family member is leaving us, but we rejoice for the opportunities that will come their way. And so we want to bless them as they go to Clive. I pray, Lord, for even the neighborhood that they live in, that their neighbors would be drawn closer to you because of them, that they would make a difference in their community. Lord, use them in effective ways for your kingdom. I pray that their kids would make new friends, that they would just be blessed beyond their expectations in this new home. And so, Lord, today it's with hearts of sadness and sorrow, but also with rejoicing, that we release them now from our fellowship into the fellowship of another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I thank you so much for our friends. I thank you for the way that you've used them, not only in friendship, but they've been examples to us with a heart for worship, a heart for mission, a heart for youth. And I thank you so much for the way that we have been bettered by you through them. And I pray that that same bettering and blessing would continue with their new church family. And I pray for many happy reunions and continuing times to connect with one another. But this is very much not just a parting, but more a sending off and a commissioning. And so, Lord, we commission them not only to you, but to a new place, a new neighborhood, a new church family, and a new set of circumstances where you want to use them. And so, Lord, would you make them even more effective there than you have already made them here as they continue to grow more in you. In your name, amen. We can dismiss the Unity kids now. You can head on downstairs. Enjoy your time. For those of you who are online, if you didn't see in the email, we are going to be doing communion following the message. And so I hope you have those elements ready to go or near at hand and can participate in that part of the worship service. Whether we've been singing about that here, or reflecting on it at home this morning, or just being reminded when we hear those words, you are good and your love endures forever. Your faithfulness continues to all generations. Praise you, Lord. Praise you for the way that you are at work. I praise and thank you for your scriptures and your spirit and the way that those two interact for your glory and the benefit of the world, the building up of the body of Christ. I pray that this morning, as we spend time in your scriptures, that we would hear not simply words, but inspired words, the words that you have breathed and continue breathing life into as you breathe them directly into us, into our particular moments and circumstances. Would you speak directly to us this morning, Lord? Not because of me, but because of how powerful you are and because of how much you care for your people. And for whatever it is that we have brought here with us this morning or go back to when we leave, we want to hear your words for those situations. So Lord, give us ears to hear. Would you sharpen your word? Would you enlighten our minds? Would you warm our hearts so that we respond well to you? In Jesus' name, amen. It's almost cliche to talk about, but you know about the power of words, don't you? Why don't you cast your mind back to a time in your life where someone spoke words over you, spoke them to you, and they cut you down? You remember the power of words, don't you? What about another time? First, let me share one of mine with you. I remember a time in high school. I was taking a philosophy class, and I was the youngest in the class. And back in those days, it was a grade 13 class, and I was a grade 12. And I was in first semester of grade 12 and taking this grade 13 class, and he was teaching it at a university level, so I was just so far behind in every way. And the teacher handed out the papers that he'd marked, and he had them from top to bottom, like top marks first, he handed them out. And the very last paper came to me, and he showed it in front of everyone and said, you are the lowest of the low. And he used words that were more crass that I can't actually repeat in church. And I've always remembered those words. I remember the power of words, right? It cut me down. And as we were going through our forgiveness series, that was one of the things that came back to mind, that I had to forgive this man and pray blessings over him and say, I no longer hold this against you, and so on. But the power of words, right? I think of words that build us up. And May those be more, I pray that those would be more powerful. Often we don't let them be as powerful as the words that cut us down, but hopefully God will empower our words. That's part of what we're doing right now as we study the way that God speaks in the moment. But I remember one time where my mom said to me, she noticed something that I had said, and she said, "Ben, you are an astute observer." And I was a teen at the time, but those words have always stuck with me, that was a compliment my mom paid me, an astute observer. I don't think I'm nearly as astute as she credited me with, but nevertheless, those words stuck with me and they encouraged me. Words have power. Words have so much power that we serve a God who spoke the world into existence. That's how much power words can have. Right? When the God of creation is behind it, and when he speaks and when he agrees with the words that we speak, there's even more power. God gave words power, and so we have to learn to be careful how we speak, but we also have to learn to speak what he would like us to speak in the moment. Now, we've been talking about prophecy in going to 1 Corinthians, and we've talked about how prophecy is learning to hear from God and then speak what God wants to say into the moment. We can demystify this thing. It's not as complex as the images or the baggage we brought to that word actually make it seem. It's not primarily about predicting the future. It's about the present and about what God wants to speak into the present and change someone's life with the power of his words, which we hear and speak through him, and on his behalf. And that's why it's so important that God wants his church to be built up. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to listen so well to him that we then know what to say to other people on his behalf, and so that they are encouraged and built up. And he gave this gift by design. And that's what we've been talking about over the last number of weeks, as God has so arranged the parts of the body that each one would complement one another, as chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians talks about. And he wants a community to keep their attention on him so that they can continue saying what he is saying and declaring what he is currently doing in the moment. And when used well, it can be a gift that greatly, greatly builds up the church, because it's the power of words combined with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is a dynamic combination. And that's why Paul can call prophecy one of the greater gifts, because it's something that builds up the church. And how does prophecy do that? Well, with the power of words, to strengthen and encourage and upbuild someone. Now, let me just share this quote that I came across this week that speaks to this. Close down these windows so you can see the whole thing. This is Gordon Fee, New Testament professor and scholar, and he says, the reason for prophecy, according to the Apostle Paul, the reason for prophecy is that it speaks edification and exhortation and comfort. I'm going to use synonyms, because your Bible translation will probably use some different synonyms. So I would use the word strengthening for the word edification, and I would use encouragement instead of exhortation. They're just a little easier words to understand, but the lines between all of these words are blurry, which is why you see different words in different translations. But he says the reason is that it speaks edification or strengthening and exhortation or encouragement and comfort to the rest of the people, to the people in this room. And these three words set the parameters of the divine intent of prophecy, why God designed the church to need prophecy, for these three reasons. And they probably indicate that Paul's view of the primary focus of a prophetic utterance is not the future, but the present situations of the people. God wants to speak into your present moments, the things that you carried with you into this church service and you're going back to afterwards. God wants to speak something to those situations that speaks strength and encouragement and comfort to you. That's the power of prophecy. That's what God wants to continue doing in his church. So let's Let's focus on chapter 14 again. Grab your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians 14. If I were putting a heading over top of this chapter, that in some of your Bible translations, they have headings over specific sections. If I were to put a heading over chapter 14, I would put it this way. Here's how God wants to use you to build up the church. Over and over and over again in this section, over and over again in chapters 12, 13, and 14, but especially in chapter 14, there are continual words and a variety of synonyms that talk about building up the church, and all of them come back to prophecy. So let me read chapter 14. I am only going to read verses 1 to 5. Verse 12 and then verse 39, but I'm going to reference some others as well. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue and does not speak to people but to God, indeed no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue, they build up themselves, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets, so that the whole church may be edified. Verse 12. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Verse 39. My brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking in tongues. Be eager to prophesy. Gordon Fee goes on to say that this chapter, chapter 14, quote, ought to be sufficient to lead the church to pray for the renewal of the prophetic gift in its ongoing life. Why wouldn't we pray for this? We should be praying for this because this is a way to build up the other people in this room, to encourage one another. And it's going to take work. It's going to take practice. It's going to take time. And we're all in our rookie years, most of us, in this kind of gifting. And that means that people in their rookie years are going to make a lot of mistakes. And I think God's okay with that. But we're going to learn as we go. But it starts by asking and praying for it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show three different ways of prophesying. I'm going to talk about them, attempt to demonstrate them. It's really up to the Spirit in some ways. But if that doesn't work, we're not going to blame the Spirit. We blame Ben. That's kind of the way that this stuff works. But I want to show three different ways of prophesying, specifically for strengthening, strengthening, encouraging, and for comfort. The three things that the Spirit says in 1 Corinthians 14 are the function, the goal of prophecy. He will talk about more, but that's a different topic for a different time. Strengthening. First of all, prophecy is anything that God uses to speak into a moment. It takes time to listen to God and ask God, like, Lord, what are you doing right now? What are you doing at Unity Baptist? What are you doing among these people here? How do you want to speak to them? Maybe you're going to hear a word. Maybe you're going to see an image. Maybe he's going to bring something to mind. God can use any of those to speak into a moment if he tells you not only listen, but then speak it out. Here's an attempt. This is weird. This is a little bit of a risk, and it's not something I'm speaking exactly. But there's been a sense, and I've sort of heard myself, I think, heard from actually someone else as well, that there is a song that's needed for this particular time or time coming at Unity Baptist. I can't get away from it. It keeps coming back. And I think that God wants to apply it to some of the moments that you are in right now. whether it's you personally or we as a church at some point, I'm not sure. But this has just come out of some of my time of listening and asking God about what does he want to say for this congregation. It's from a group that I listened to as a kid, and apparently they're still around. You guys know the Newsboys? Yeah, they're still around. Yeah. And my kids are listening to the songs I was listening to at their age. Like, this just blows me away. But so I've been hearing the Newsboys constantly in my house for weeks and weeks. And they actually, they blare it down in the basement, and one of them pretends to play the guitar and one of them pretends to do the drums. And I'm just hearing this stuff constantly in my house. But there's been one song that stuck with me then and has stuck out, and God has been speaking, not only speaking to me through it, but then speaking to me about it. And so I want to share it with you in case it may be for you. And if it isn't, you know what? That's okay. Prophecy can't be for everyone in the room. It may be for some of you and not for others. But we're going to play the song. And so this is a song by the Newsboys. It's called Stay Strong. And I say that for the sake of the recording, because we won't be able to have, I think, the music on the recording itself. So if any of you listen online, you'll have to pause this, go listen to the YouTube video, watch the YouTube video, and then come back to this. But I'll ask Marco to play it, and I will put the lyrics up here on the screen if I can. Prophecy is sensitivity to God in the moment. It's pretty hard to test that corporately and say, does anyone want to claim that that one was for them? And maybe it is, or maybe it isn't. But it's at least, at the very least, what I did there is an example of taking a risk after listening to God and saying, I think this might be for someone. And I hope that it helps. And some of you perhaps are in that moment right now where you're like, I've had a really hard week, and I needed the encouragement and the reminder to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, and continue. And we're going to pick up those verses at communion time. But maybe some of that, maybe this is for you today. Prophecy is simply sensitivity to God, listening to him, taking the risk and speaking it out for the encouragement and strengthening of someone else. Comfort. Prophecy is also for comfort. And like I said, some of you limped here this week, didn't you? And you don't need to nod. I don't need to know who it is, but some of you limped here. Or some of you fell this week and there's no one to blame but yourself. And what you need to hear, I think, as I was listening this week for that, is Psalm 145. Prophecy is also going to scripture and declaring a particular scripture at a particular moment for a particular individual. Please go to Psalm 145. I know that everyone has their favorite psalms, and Psalm 139 is a big favorite for people. Psalm 23 is a big favorite. Psalm 103. I think for me, probably Psalm 145 is the most beautiful psalm in scripture and the most encouraging and comforting. King David says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And you say, Ben, what does this have to do with the fact that I fell this week and I need comfort? The Lord is good to all. His compassion is over all that he has made. Sorry, verse 8, I missed that. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. His compassion is over all that he has made. All your works praise you, Lord, and your faithful people extol you. They tell of your kingdom, the glory of your kingdom. They speak of your might so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. And here's more comfort. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. He upholds all who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and forever. Amen. Some of you limped here this week. Some of you fell. And the picture in Psalm 145 that is for you who fell and you who limped this week is that we serve a God that takes your hand and he throws your arm over his shoulder and he puts his shoulder under your arm and lifts you up off that limp and helps you walk along. This is a God that we serve that picks up people who fall in the dirt and does not kick them. God does not kick the people who are down. He is there to lift up the people who need it. And maybe that's you this week, and you need to hear that, that this is the God that we serve. So picture him. Picture that image in your mind of God actually picking you up so that you're not limping anymore and walking alongside you. So hear it again and hear it as prophecy for your situation. The Lord upholds all who are falling down, and he lifts up those who are bowed down. He will pick you up, and he will carry you. That's prophecy, friends, for the people who are in need of comfort. Prophecy is also for encouragement. Have you heard the phrase? There are a variety of ways that this phrase gets used or a variety of synonyms for it, but essentially the good is the enemy of the best. You heard that before? The good choice is the enemy of the best choice. The good work is the enemy of the best work, right? That sometimes we settle for less. The good is the enemy of the best. This week, I had a choice between the good and the best. And it was a big choice. I can't get into it, but the stress on me was absolutely huge. And what I did was I choked and I chose the good instead of the best. And I did it completely out of fear. It was a complete lack of trust that God, if I did the best, that God would actually take care of the good as well. But I felt like I had to choose between them, and I did. And I chose wrong. And I, as many of you know, I make weekly confession to a friend. And so I keep track of my confessions and I make a note of it on my phone. And the next day, as I was in my personal prayer time with God, and I had to confess, Lord, I chose wrong. I chose something good, but not actually what you wanted me to aim for. And I disappointed you. And I demonstrated my own pride that I didn't trust that if I chose the best, that God would actually work out the good as well. That I knew I had to manage this particular situation. That was my own pride. And as I said, it was out of fear. It was the lack of trust. And it's funny, God speaks, as we've been learning. And here's what I heard. He said, I forgive you. And I understand how stressed you were. And I don't hold it against you. He said, in a way, you still did the right thing. And he reminded me of the parable of the talents, but he changed it slightly. Test this. He said, think of the parable of the talents, and if you had 5 talents and you'd messed up with 4 of them, but one of them had actually been good and made a profit, and you'd come back and been faithful with that, I would still have told you, good job, Ben. And then he said, good job, Ben. And he thanked me. How's that prophecy? That conversation came through my son, who at times can play translator for God in incredible ways. But it also aligns with Psalm 145. Look at Psalm 145 again. Look at verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. His compassion is over all that he has made. Look at a verse just a little further down, verse 17. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. It's not either justice or kindness for God, friends. And maybe that's for you today. Maybe that story is for you. Maybe that scripture is for you today. It's not either justice or kindness. God has a way of doing both. And he will celebrate even a partial success for the partial faithfulness to him. And he noticed that. And he encourages us as we continue on. He is not just good and holy. He is also kind. I experienced that this week. He is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. Hear that for you, friends. That's another form of prophecy, to tell a story of what God has said and done for you, because maybe it would help someone else. This is entry-level prophecy, friends, 101. And we'll still make mistakes, but this is how prophecy works. You take a risk, and maybe that song might have helped you. You spend time listening to God and saying, Lord, what scripture speaks to this particular moment for someone in need? And you share the scripture. Prophecy is reflecting on what God has done and said in your life and then sharing that with someone else, because maybe it would help someone else in need for the sake of strengthening them and encouraging them and building them up and comforting them. So can we demystify prophecy a little bit? Because it's simply listening to God, getting his heart, and doing your best to speak his heart into a particular situation, a particular need that someone has for their strengthening, for their encouragement, for their upbuilding, for their comfort. This is what God's asking of us. And it's not for prophets. It's not just for prophets. As 1 Corinthians 14 makes clear, he wants everyone in the congregation to be able to listen to God, get his heart, and speak it at the particular right moment to the person in need. That's what he wants. You can do this, my friends. You can. In fact, God calls us to pursue this. So think about the potential of a church where every member started listening to God for what he would want to say to help someone else in need at the moment, in here and out there. Think about that. If you could get God's heart for, and not in a sort of a general way like God loves, but in the specific way that speaks to the specific moment and the specific need at that time for that individual, think of the power of that as the Holy Spirit leads you. That's why prophecy is the gift that Paul will say, I'd like you guys to speak in tongues, but even more, I want you to prophesy. I want you to learn to hear God and speak that to other people. Because everyone benefits. Let's pray. Lord, would you sensitize us to you, to what you are speaking in the moment? And of course, we're going to go and test that with the scriptures. Of course. It's how we know that you are speaking, as we reflect on what you are saying in the scriptures. But Lord, would you sensitize us? Would you bring those scriptures to mind over and over again? Would you bring the story to mind of how you've worked in our lives to share it with someone else at the moment where they are in need? Would you make us the people who focus, as Paul says, not focusing on building up ourselves, but focusing on coming together and building up someone else in order that it make you smile, in order that the church be built up, in order that this body of Christ function in the world in a way that shows the world that there is a God among us. And he looks like Jesus, and he sounds like Jesus, because I just heard it out of my friend's mouth. I heard it out of my brother or my sister's mouth. They spoke some Jesus to me and over me at a particular time, and it made me look not to the prophet, but to the one behind it. Lord, we praise you and bless you. Lord, as Gordon Fee said, I pray for a renewal of this gift, for the upbuilding and strengthening and comfort, encouragement of your church. So Lord, give us your heart for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to grab your communion elements. And what I'd like to do is just read the scripture that I referenced. And we'll take a moment in reflection and prayer. This doesn't automatically look like a sort of a communion text, but he is the author here is reflecting on the way that Jesus made his way toward the cross and made his way through the cross. The author uses it as an example to us of how we should be strengthened and encouraged by his example. So let's celebrate who God is this morning, and let's take encouragement from what Jesus did on our behalf. Chapter 12 of Hebrews, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you, as you endure the same thing in whatever you are suffering today, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Take a moment and see that in these elements. Take a moment of reflection, and then I'll pray. Lord, I thank you for the way that your scriptures, inspired by your Holy Spirit, at the time of their writing and also at the time of their speaking, being spoken, come with power for the moments that we are in. And so, Lord, as we come to this table, as we take these elements, as we are reminded of what Christ suffered and endured, and are reminded of the joy that came as a result of it, we come to take these elements to worship him and to follow his example and to set our hope on Jesus as we fix our eyes on him. So Lord, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your death. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for the hope that you offer us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, please take these in remembrance of him. Lord, thank you for this time. It's been good to be in your presence together. It's been good to worship you. I thank you so much for your scriptures. Thank you for what you're doing. Lord, may we not get in the way. May we bless your name. We praise you. We're going to continue in worship now. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, those of you who are online. Blessings. Thanks for being with us.